still entitled, is supported by City Cards with Android Pay. Listening on your phone? Now you can pay while you listen, using the same device. Just tap and go. Download the Android Pay app on Google Play or visit city.com/AndroidPay to get started. Android Pay is available for eligible Citi consumer credit and debit cards.
Welcome to Still Untitled, the Adam Savage Project. I'm Adam.
And I'm Norm.
And I'm Rebecca.
We're back again. You know, we promise. We promise you'd be on soon. And guess what?
Wow.
We're on this week again.
Bang!
Crazy.
Yes.
So you were talking about finding Pokemon. You're surprised that the cave isn't a location.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
It's still relatively secret. I mean, here in the neighborhood, I think most of the locals know I'm here. But this morning, yesterday was trash day, so my trash was out front and totally, literally trash. Like, there's all this stuff strewn about because I think I have interesting trash.
Did someone dumpster dive?
Someone dumpster dived. And so there's folders all over the place. As I'm cleaning it up, I left my door open, and this guy walking past, like, staring through the door, open door of my shop. And I don't like that because
Yeah.
You know, it's not for public consumption.
You need a beaded curtain.
Well, I mean, it looks pretty crappy out there. It doesn't look like what's behind the door is behind the door.
That's what makes it magical.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I felt confident, though, that this guy would protect the secret because he had a very elaborate mustache. I'm just making an assumption.
Okay. I mean, like the guy from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
More like one of the Three Musketeers.
You're talking about like the villain who
gives
the candy?
But he wasn't really a villain. Spoiler alert.
No, this is
But he had a kind of a porn stash, didn't he?
I think so.
No, I was talking more of a hipster mustache, the kind that Marc Maron hates.
Right. I don't think you can trust that mustache. I don't know.
So I was thinking about hipsters this week.
Okay. Wait, well, how did that story end? Did he just look in and left? There was no interaction, no engagement?
Great story. Great story.
No, no. Here's what happened is he was staring through the door, I was aware of him trying to figure out why. What was in this show? What's going on through that door? Mm-hmm. And then he turned to watch me stand up behind one of my trash bins and went, oh, like, oh, that's why.
Did you stand up holding, like, I'm picturing you with like a bunch of old banana peels in one hand.
and mannequin hands.
And mannequin hands.
Right? Yeah. Eyeballs.
Oh, hello, neighbor.
And he goes, oh. Hey, I like your work. I said, thank you. And he's like, have a good day. And then he walked off with his handlebar mustache. Yeah. But I was thinking about hipsters, and I was thinking about my cameraman on Mythbusters, Will Nail, used to hate it when I called him a hipster. But if the shoe fits.
Most hipsters do hate it when you call them a hipster.
But this it's like the opposite of a narcissist.
And the same as a psychopath.
But this is what I realized about the hipster idea, right? We think of a hipster as like the handlebar mustache, the plaid shirt, the artisanal hair gel, whatever it is. But nobody in their mind is like, I'm going to be cute and Portlandia precious about everything in my life.
Are you sure about that?
No one's, very few people are, except psychopaths, are choosing that as a lifestyle choice. Mm-hmm. They're all just people.
Yes.
And they're people who want to make the world better, and they want to taste good food made by people they meet. And
it's, I just Rebecca love that, can't take you seriously
I just
right
love,
now.
Because, like, Adam's great realization is that hipsters are people.
No. The realization isn't that hipsters are people. The realization that it is that hipster isn't a thing. It's not a person. It's a construct in our head.
Yes.
Just like all the ways
like,
we categorize
like race.
People. Like race. Exactly. This is what I love. That's actually one of the things I love. You haven't read Between the World and Me.
No. I'm reading it right now.
It's totally mind-blowing.
I'm listening to it on audiobook while I catch Pokemon
does
in the park.
Does Ta-Nehisi read it?
Yes, he does.
Oh, I have.
And his voice is so soothing. Like, he's not a great reader in that, like, if you listen to a lot of books on tape, like, it's a lot of acting that goes into it.
Yeah.
He sounds like a person who is reading his book, but it's lovely in a way. Like, his voice is just really relaxing. And
I tend to love hearing the authors read their work, even if they're not excellent at it.
Yeah. Like,
because it's how they imagine
it's how
voice
he hears
head,
it in his head
when, yes when they
unless
wrote it.
Unless it's T.S. Eliot, you should never listen to T.S. Eliot
really
read the Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock.
Done.
Let us go then, you and I, as the evening is spread out against the sky like a plate. It's oh my god, it's awful.
I had no idea you did such a spot on T.S. Eliot. What a great bit.
Prufrock is one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah.
But Ta-Nehisi Coates calls in the book calls white people dreamers because they get to live in this wonderful fiction that mm-hmm. race is a thing.
Also, he refers to them as to us as people who think they're white.
Yes, the people who believe themselves to be white.
Yeah.
Yes.
Such a powerful book. And also, I was surprised at how, you know, I come from a community of atheists who big up a lot of atheist books. This is an atheist book. He talks about, he goes into one of his friends dying, who was a very religious person, and hearing people say, like, this person, this was a black man who was shot by police. And
Prince,
yeah. And people at the service are
we mean
praying
a man
for
named
the cop.
Prince, not the singer Prince.
Right, not yes. singer Prince. He was not
clear.
Shot
he was
by
not
police.
Shot by police.
Yeah, he talks about people praying for forgiveness for the officer. And he talks about how, like, to him, he would rather be angry and this person doesn't deserve forgiveness because this person's going to face zero consequences. And he talks about how this is the only life that Prince had and it was wasted, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, anyway, it's incredibly powerful and moving.
It's a really important book. So the construct of the book, have I talked about it?
You have a little bit.
OK. Yeah. It's the talk. It's the talk that African-American parents mm-hmm. give to their children as they're coming of age, about the realities of the world they're coming of age in. So the first word of the book is son.
Yeah.
And it's to his 16-year-old son. And it's ludicrously powerful. It's
yeah.
really it changed. It altered the way I saw the world.
Yeah. And I think of myself as someone who is very open and allied and, you know, supportive of Black Lives Matter and, mm-hmm. and things like that. But yeah, there were he put things into a context that I hadn't considered before. You know, even me, the pinnacle of
right, no,
liberal.
We think that we're liberal until we really read a worldview yeah. that's radically the construct. And we talked about this on the podcast last week about the microaggression of the TSA agent mm-hmm. who says
yeah.
stop right there. It was that book that helped me understand that microaggression mm. because at one point in the book, he has an altercation with a woman in a mall where it goes bad. And I think it's a woman. The person he has the altercation with says, I could call the cops. And Ta-Nehisi says, what they meant was, I can have control of your body anytime
right.
I want.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he talks about the body, the black body. He talks
yeah.
about that control, that societal, that threat. And it's super intense to really internalize that or to try to internalize that and see what it's like from that point of view.
Yeah. And speaking of all of this, Melissa Harris Perry, is that right? Just wrote this amazing, suicide letter that she didn't actually commit suicide, before you worry, but she performed it on stage with Jamie Kilstein and The Agenda in New York, and then she posted it online, and it's so incredibly powerful. You should go read it.
Oh my goodness, I don't know anything about this.
It's really good. I'll send it to you.
We love Jamie Kilstein.
Yeah, he's great.
He's the awesome.
Yeah, and he's killing it. He's out
Is
there
he
with
really?
His band now. Yeah, like he moved smoothly from stand-up comedian to now I have a guitar. Now I'm playing the guitar on stage. And now I'm a musician.
Well, that's last time he was in San Francisco, we had lunch. He came to lunch at our house and we talked for a while and he was just getting started
yeah.
with the music thing. And he's like, it seems to be going really well.
Yeah, I hung out with him that same time, I think. And I met up with him on his way to the venue and I'm like, oh, you've got your guitar? And he's like, yeah, of course I do. I'm playing this on stage. I was like, really?
That's awesome.
So good.
That's fabulous.
He's great.
You guys are both
going
to be on stage this week at Comic-Con for Woodstock.
We are. Yes.
Yes.
Are you in Woodstock as well?
I am, of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, Norm.
Of course.
Will Wheaton
Will's
will
not
be at Woodstock. He is taking a break from cons.
Yeah.
Ah.
He's relaxing a little bit.
And Anne is recovering, I think, from a minor medical procedure thing. So, yeah, I think they're having family time.
I will miss the Wheatons.
Yeah, I love them.
It's hard to, you know, there was a time I didn't know Will.
What?
You just read the blog?
and
Dancing Barefoot?
We had a lot of mutual friends in common, but there was a time I didn't know him. And now having him as a friend, he's such a lovely, important presence in my life.
Aww.
You know, I mean, not just as a personal thing, but every now and then he'll put out one of his blogs about depression, which I find so mm-hmm. powerful.
Yeah.
He's one of very few super people with notoriety writing deeply honestly about that stuff. And I find it really powerful when he does.
Yeah. I met him for the first time at the last Woodstock that we did. And he wore crocheted underpants. So.
All right.
So, yeah.
It can be a little itchy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't ask. We're not that close.
Is the crochet pattern on the outside or the inside?
He was wearing them over his jeans.
His jeans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Overpants.
Yeah. Overpants. I apologize.
Captain Overpants.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So they weren't underpants.
No, I lied. I'm sorry.
Endopants.
You know, thank God we corrected that on camera. So I would have gotten so many angry.
Oh, God.
Rebecca, they're overpants.
Point of fact, Rebecca, I was at that very Woodstock 5.0 or whichever.
And Will's the type of guy who he's interesting because we know him, of course. His claim to fame was playing Wesley Crusher on Star Trek, but then he's much more interesting outside of that character.
He's also in Stand By Me.
Stand By, mm-hmm. of course, yes.
Seminal and important bit of Americana.
Yep.
Of course.
Yeah, but in terms of like a lot of those actors in that sci-fi universe, in the genre space, are much more interesting outside of the characters, even though you first become familiar with them because of the characters.
Oh, absolutely.
LeVar Burton just marching in the Black Lives Matter protest mm-hmm. in
LeVar,
D.C.
You know, I in L.A., I told this on the podcast, but I went to this Paramount event with Norm where we showed the new Star Trek trailer. And then afterwards, I went to a meeting of secret nerds.
Oh, secret nerd meeting.
I went in and I said, I think I win this meeting because I just came from a Star Trek event. And that's when the host said, oh, you haven't met LeVar Burton. And I was like, of course I've met LeVar. We're friends and he is a lovely man. And knowing him is much more interesting than just a single dimension of him playing Geordi.
I met him at Dragon Con. Sorry, I just...
No.
I met him at Dragon
Con. The whole point of this podcast is that Norm doesn't get a net.
Oh.
I get they percolate.
I'll make this brief, I swear.
No.
I was at a party with you, I think, and LeVar Burton walked in. I was talking to someone else, and he walked up to us, and I turned and was like, oh, hello. And he's like, hello, I'm LeVar. And I was like, oh, I know who you are. Huge Reading Rainbow fan.
Is that the first time you met LeVar Burton?
Yeah, and
he's a sweetheart.
He was awesome.
Actually, the whole I've met almost the whole cast of Next Generation.
And Next Generation, that cast is the one that everyone talks about being the closest.
Well, that's,
being the family.
I met them all together at Dragon Con. They all came to a party I was throwing.
Oh my God.
So it was Frakes and LeVar and Brent and
Marina.
Who are you missing?
Probably
who
Gates.
Am I missing? I haven't met Picard.
I bet Patrick Stewart's the one
Patrick
who doesn't. He's the one that's probably busier.
He's the dad who's always away at work.
Right.
Here's the thing. Here's my pitch to Patrick Stewart. We recently saw some video of him eating his first slice of New York pizza.
Okay.
That went fairly viral. I'd like to introduce him to his first mission burrito.
Oh. I'm wonderful.
I'll bet.
Also, a great pickup line.
Oh.
It's more like a taquito than a burrito, but
this is how the show normally goes.
Yes,
right?
No,
okay,
yeah.
Good.
Sorry. At any rate, Patrick Stewart. Yeah, he should come to San Francisco. I am missing him in my collection.
The
yeah.
invitation's out there,
and I haven't met Q.
John Delancey.
Wonderful actor.
Yeah.
But those guys are lovely. They're hilarious. They have really great ribald senses of humor.
I don't know if I told this story, but you weren't at Dragon Con last year.
No, I missed it. Stupid brother got married.
Oh,
yeah.
But you've heard this story, Rebecca, from the other Adam,
mm-hmm.
About we wanted to go to Aaron Douglas's party.
Oh, yeah.
And
Aaron Douglas always throws this epic party at Dragon Con.
And he is the nicest guy.
Super
nice.
Nicest
guy.
And
we
so
BSG models.
That's
here.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then so the tested entourage along with, you know, Kishore and Indre from Inquiring Minds, we were going to go to, after a big panel, to the Aaron Douglas party. And Adam, our producer, knows Aaron. And so we got to his hotel room, knocked on the door, no one picked up. Like no one answers. Oh, maybe it's loud in there and they couldn't hear. So call Aaron up. Dialed it, no one picked up. And then we're hovering, like, how long should we hover out here? You know, we just go to another party. And then down the elevator, we hear the door open, the elevator. It's the service elevator. So you know it's someone special when it's a service elevator at Dragon Con. And first, and then out comes Jamie Bamber, Apollo. Okay, he's got to be here for the party. But then behind him, it's Gaius, and then Trisha Helfer, and then it's Adama comes out, and it's
Edward
James Olmos. And it's like, it's the entire cast. And like, oh.
It's like exceeds your wildest fantasy right. on what could have come out of that service element. Right.
And we're like, okay, this is, they got to get into this party, but right. we also, we don't want to approach them because we're fans, but we're also here at the party. And then, so Adam, our producer, who knows Jamie, or who knows Aaron, is, I'll approach them as equals.
Which is, I have to say, that's Adam's approach to most things in life. Yes. I'm going to approach this person as an equal.
Don't worry, I'll approach them as yes. equals. Yeah. And then went up there, and then they, apparently Aaron wasn't there, the party wasn't ready yet. Now the best part was Edward James almost walks down the hallway, walks to the very end, past everyone, past the door, turns around and walks, let's go. And then they all left.
So I had lunch with Aaron in Vancouver late last year, and I told him this story.
Yeah.
And he went, oh yeah. He said, Eddie doesn't wait.
Yep.
Eddie doesn't wait.
He didn't knock. Walk down. We were all knocking the door. Walked all the way down to the end of the hallway. Turned around. Walked back. Let's go. And everyone left.
It's a great, great party. I like particularly yeah. that he has the party in a room insulated by other rooms oh my God. From yep. noise complaints. Oh, so he has buffer rooms.
Yep. Yeah.
It's that, very is, smart. That is.
But it's like those work. These casts for these TV shows. Sometimes they only get together because of these conventions.
Yeah.
And so it's their time to bond and their time to reconnect.
Well, wasn't there a famous story about a Firefly convention not happening and the cast was still there, so they held a meet and greet for the fans that had shown up for the canceled convention?
I did not hear that.
I seem
that's
to remember.
Amazing.
Yeah, I know. And that's a cast also that is very close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I haven't met them yet. I haven't checked those off my list.
You haven't met Nathan?
No, Nathan and I have not met.
I'm sorry.
Nathan, give me a call.
Comic-Con, that's your chance.
Comic-Con. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he'll be there.
Okay, yeah. All right, yeah. The one person I really want to meet at Comic-Con, and this is a person that I've been trying to meet for the past 10 years probably of my con-going life, mm-hmm. is H. John Benjamin.
Who is H. John Benjamin?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. God.
Educate me. I'm sure I...
John Benjamin is the voice of Sterling Archer.
Oh, okay.
First of all.
Right.
But also goes back to one of my favorite early cartoons, Dr. Katz, when mm-hmm. he played Dr. Mm-hmm. Katz's son. He's also in the amazingly hilarious short-lived show H. John Benjamin Has a Van, which everyone should watch on Comedy Central. Also stars Nathan For You, Nathan Fielder.
Yeah.
I am in love with
Master
John Benjamin.
He's in Master of None also.
Yes, he is.
He plays the co-actor yes. when Aziz has that gig.
Oh!
The one who...
Yeah, yeah. He's very rarely on screen as right. something other than
I
a voice.
I might be able to help. I know some of the well, other cast of...
I know Lucky from Archer, and so...
Have you not met Aisha?
I have not. I would love to meet Aisha as well.
She's a good friend, and she's really... She's
you give me that hookup.
Twice as awesome.
Give me that hookup.
This is the thing about Aisha, is she's actually twice as awesome as you hope she'll be.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's okay. ridiculous.
All right, now I'm really excited about Comic-Con. I mean, no. I was kind of excited before. Now I'm really excited. The problem with John Benjamin is that apparently he's very introverted and doesn't go out to parties and stuff. So he's like a rare Pokemon that I need to like bait with treats or something.
So 3 years ago at Comic-Con, 3 or 4 years ago at Comic-Con, which is the hotel that's right at the end of the convention center?
It's the Marriott.
That's the one where we've often stayed yes. at. They have these big hospitality suites that are in the corners of the hotel, and I stay in those. And my wife, Julia, came back to the hotel room one afternoon, and her key didn't work. And she's like, oh, I mean, there's nothing more boring.
No, it's the worst.
So she's just like, she's like, I really don't want to go back downstairs. Mm-hmm. Maybe Adam or somebody's in the room because there's always a right. lot of activity happening in my room. Yep. There's planning. So she knocks on the door and she's like this. Fucking come on. Somebody just come to the door. And then the door opens and it's Jeff Bridges. And he's eating like
the
a
dude.
Tortilla chip.
Oh, that's and the perfect
this,
way to be.
In a bathrobe.
This is this long pause and Julia goes, I think I got the wrong room. And he's like, I guess you did. Which I think of as a sort of a signal that he might say, maybe it's the right room.
I mean, I'm just going to put this out there.
I did mention.
I'm going to put this out there. Your wife is she's a good looking lady.
Yeah, she is.
And
no, it's
Jeff
totally
Bridges
true.
May have been DTF. That's what I'm
saying.
I don't
know. It turned out that
did
she
you?
Was one floor down. I was in the room above, and then he was also in a hospitality suite.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
she didn't make the assumption that you were just hanging out with Jeff Bridges.
Right. Yeah. Where's
she
the...
knew that, yeah, she yeah. was like, that's,
yeah, that's not going to happen.
No.
Adam's not hanging out with the dude.
Yeah.
But that is the kind of thing that happens at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Of late, the green room hasn't been as much of a spectacular star-spotting place as it used to be.
Mm.
It used to be, like, for your panel, you'd get to the green room early because, like, the whole cast of Heroes would walk in.
Yeah.
Whoa! You know.
Who are they?
Patton Oswalt.
I got to introduce Patton Oswalt to Vince Gilligan, which was really
nice.
Fun.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff, those confluences of people mm-hmm. meeting.
Mm-hmm. I love introducing famous people to other famous people. It's the thing that makes me feel most good about myself, which
Mutual
is
Mutual Appreciation Society.
I introduce...
It's the thing, it's where I can... It puts my imposter complex the farthest
yes.
into the distance.
Yes.
Yes.
I introduced Lucky Yates to Terry Gilliam, and it was maybe like one of the top 10 greatest moments of my
wow.
life. I was like, oh, Lucky, have you met Terry? And he's like, fuck you.
Where'd you meet Terry? At Dragon Con?
At Dragon Con.
Yeah.
He mixed me a margarita. And
nice.
Later, we hung out all night. And the next day, Ken Plume told me that Ken took Terry Gilliam to the airport. And on the way, Terry mentioned me and said, and I quote, she's a pistol.
You are a pistol.
Ooh, I'm a pistol.
You are totally a pistol. Gilliam approved.
Yep.
You can put a Gilliam approved stamp on your website.
Yeah, yeah. Hell on my forehead.
Ken Plume did the same. He told me, come to Dragon Con, the first time I went to Dragon Con. Come to Dragon Con. I'll introduce you to Terry Gilliam. And I was like, all right, we'll see how that goes. I've heard such things before. And I arrived at Dragon Con at 6 a.m. only to find that the Hilton had given away my hotel room that I had prepaid for.
Yep.
Thanks, Hilton.
That's normal.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
And they were like, I was like, we prepaid for it. And they were like, yeah, but it went into a special mode. What's that mode? Well, we just give away whatever rooms
oh my
are
God.
Empty. And I'm like, it wasn't empty. I paid for it. And they're like, yeah, we still gave it away.
Yeah, that's the fuck you mode.
Anyway, but we finally did get to a room and I texted Ken at like 7:30 and said, I'm in my room. We just got in. And he said, well, come upstairs to blah, blah, blah and have breakfast with me and Terry. And we did.
Nice.
He delivered. Yeah.
The first time I met him, they were on their way to breakfast and I was waiting for the Dragon Con parade to start because a year prior I'd come up with this brilliant idea that we should all march in the parade and just hold a banner that says Bruce and it would be the Bruce banner and then we would all dress up as Bruce's. So we
God
did that
Bruce.
And we had a whole group of Monty Python Bruce's.
Yeah. Nice.
And I was Bruce Campbell, complete with chainsaw arm and
nice.
Fake blood all over me.
Nice.
So they walk in, Ken, Terry Gilliam, and Trace Beaulieu,
mm-hmm.
and I see them and I run up to them. I'm like, hey, I didn't know Terry. I didn't know what he looked like because I have face blindness. But I did recognize Ken and Trace. And I was like, guys, hey. And I give them hugs. And I accidentally got fake blood on Trace. And Ken just looks like horrified that I look the way I look.
Yeah.
And he's standing there with Terry Gilliam trying to get to breakfast.
Right.
I was like, who are you? Hi, I'm Rebecca. I'm dressed as a Bruce. And he's like, oh, yeah. And there's other Bruces. I was like, yeah, got a Bruce banner.
Was there a shark? Did anyone dress up as a shark?
No, we didn't have a shark. We did have a Bruce Jenner prior to Caitlin.
Nice.
And Bruce Jenner was my girlfriend Maria, who was wearing a Wheaties box
nice.
With her face sticking out.
Yeah.
And so like all of our stuff was very DIY, mm-hmm. You know, and so we were walking through the parade and like people would look at us in a confused manner. So I just started yelling, we're Bruces. We're all Bruces. It's a Bruce banner.
You're literally running around explaining
yeah.
the joke.
Yeah. We're
that's,
Bruces.
That's a deep commitment.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like, this joke isn't working. Let's make sure it doesn't work by explaining. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Rebroses.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great week.
Yes.
Busy week. We'll have a lot of content from Tessin on site. There's going to be the Star Trek Beyond premiere. The movie comes out like this Friday.
That's right.
The premiere is at Comic-Con Wednesday night with the full orchestra in IMAX outdoors. The first time all of that has happened together.
So exciting.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Stay tuned for all the stuff.
Is that it?
I think that's it.
Is there okay, so anything special coming up on the site?
We have
this
all
week?
The stuff from the RPF party we talked about last week is going to be on the site this week. So, you know, and then Comic-Con stuff rolling out this weekend.
Very exciting.
Yes.
It'll be Comic-Con is nonstop, even more than Dragon Con is.
I'm going to go back to sleep right after this and get a lot of sleep.
There'll be some good dancing.
Yeah. Can't wait.
All right. We'll see you guys.
Bye.